Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 247. My name is Christopher Kio, and I'm here with Jeff Torney.
What up?
And Travis Baum returns.
Hey.
What's up?
Dun-dun-dun.
Hi.
Today we are talking about gaming classics from this generation. If there are any games that came out this generation that you think will be classics in the future. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener and email, and a new question of the week, which I'm not sure if that stuff happened last week, because I haven't listened to that show yet. Before
it
we
was,
do that...
It was a little bit of a clusterfuck, not going to lie. That's when, like, the vodka really started to hit, and then we were like,
nice.
Oh, God.
Before we do that, let's see what's going on. Travis, you're back after a couple weeks. What's up, man?
Yeah. I was sick. You know, it's weird because I'm seeing the Jason thing happen all over again. You know, you're getting ready to leave the show, and you just do nothing but get sick all the time now. Is that how it works? Because
Jason was just sick all the time.
He was sick all the time.
Yeah, Jason was just sick all the time.
Or drunk, yeah. But I was sick all last week. So, of course, you can hear it. I got the remnants still in me and everything. But got some serious bronchitis. And Jeff told me it was caused directly by smoking. Apparently, smoking gives you viruses. I am completely smoke-free. I'm done. I'm done. Dunzo. No
good
more
shit.
Smoking for me.
Good stuff.
No, that's definitely it. So, it was the podcast that was doing it to me. It was talking to Jeff every day. Every time Jeff said,
probably.
I need a smoke break. I'm like, fuck, I need a cigarette.
So, I never said it. I would just sneak away.
And I would know. I heard the in his headphone. You can't sneak away, Jeff. I'm sure people on the show have heard you.
I'm a fucking...
No, they've heard you turn your head to the left, and then you hear the...
I'm a fucking headset ninja. No one
No, you're not.
Yes, you are. That's what you are.
Yeah. So, but yeah, nothing else. You know, got back from Pound, Texas. It was fun. It was good times.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hang out with some people, have some drinks, a lot of drinks. I went on a five-day bender. I went early this year. I went one day early. You have to provide yourself your own hotel room if you go a day early because the company does not get you your early hotel room. So me and about three or four of the managers chipped all in and got a room, so it was more affordable. And we just started drinking straight up. And Pound Vegas, I was on a budget.
Pound and whiskey.
I was not drinking as much because it's like $8 a beer. It's
holy
shit. It's bad in Vegas.
Hi, welcome
and
to
it's
Vegas.
Like, Canadian.
Well, and everybody's like, well, you just sit there and gamble. Play gamble and they get you free drinks. Well, that's the thing. You're still spending money and gambling's not cheap. And the waitresses
gamble
don't come.
Slowly.
The cocktail waitresses don't come to the penny slots. They don't walk over there. They don't. You'll never see a cocktail waitress in the penny slots. You won't see it.
Of course not. Yeah.
So, but I was on a budget this year still, but it was like normal price drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So, first night got hammered and I was like, oh, okay, I can't, I was pulling the Jeff. I just is
never drinking again.
No, tomorrow I gotta be cool. Yeah. It's gotta be easy. So long story short, it was a 5 day bender. I went five for five every night.
Wow.
I was hammered and it was good. It felt good. But then that mixed with smoking and I got the cigarette virus.
Mm-hmm.
And that just got me pretty
cigarette virus.
Pretty done. I was in bed for quite a few days.
Sure.
So, but other than that, hey, I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Glad to get back to the Indusfest chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get the blood boiling for that. Who else is coming? Got any new names, Chris? I heard
there's like 10 people going.
I heard like a six people coming this year.
I did just see that there's one person that we haven't met yet.
Mike
Stryce.
I've met him. I've met him, but you guys.
Oh, have you met him?
Oh, okay.
He lives in Toronto, so yeah.
Oh,
is he a weirdo or is he cool?
No, he's a cool guy.
Is he a weirdo?
Okay. Yeah. Him and his wife are both really cool. We met them at
when
Aces was here last time.
Oh, that's cool.
He came out
that's
with
cool.
us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. Well, Jeff, what's up with you, man?
Fuck, not much, man. Just fucking. Hey, you know what? It's kind of related to what I've been doing in a couple weeks. I think I might, hopefully, fingers crossed, keep your fingers crossed for me, might be able to get a PS Vita through work. Hopefully, by October, because last month I was nominated for, like, an award, a quarterly award, like, every quarter. Departments all, if you get nominated for award, then they all, like, the manager should vote on who's, like, anonymously, they don't know whose award it was for, or who actually got the nomination. They say whichever one is the best one. You get the award, and then at the end of the year, all the awards winners get basically put in a pool, and then higher ups read them all, and then you get a bronze award, silver award, gold award, platinum award, and what you win is RBC points, which of course you can spend in the RBC catalog. And if you get bronze, bronze is like, I think it's like 3,000 points. Now, the Vita is 4,600 points, but you can get Chapters / Indigo. I'm not sure if you guys have Chapters and Indigo there.
I have no clue what that
bookstores. Yeah, but they're basically a big bookstore, but they also carry some electronics. They have Vitas there. We can get gift certificates, where it's 500 points translated into $50. So even if I get bronze, which is a good chance I'll at least get bronze, I'll be able to get myself a free Vita. And if I get silver, I'll probably be able to get like a Vita and possibly like a decent size, like 40-inch TV, like LED. So I'm looking forward to that.
Or you can get a game for the Vita.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that costs a little bit less than TV, but yeah.
That's well, instead of the TV, you could get a memory card for the Vita. Those are about the same.
Oh, there, there you go. That'll be the rest of my points, actually. But yeah, I'm kind of got excited. Like, before, I was like, I wouldn't wear that's cool. It looks good. My managers like are like, oh, yeah, really good job. Their manager's like, oh, good job. Now he talks to me every day. He sees me in the hallway and shit, and before he wouldn't even recognize me. And now it's turned into, fuck. This might actually end up pretty cool. get some good shit
so
out of this.
So what's the award? Was it like an attendance while hammered or hangover?
No,
award
it's basically
or like
that?
Best office prank.
There you go. That's something Jeff would win.
I would totally win that if that was fucking there. But no, just a bunch of my mortgage reps I deal with were basically writing a bunch of crap to my manager, like how much they like me and all this other stuff, and I was helping out with a lot of other things and working on projects and stuff, so my manager actually wrote like a really good nomination. So then it got it won this year, so out of almost 10 years being at the bank, first time I've won one of these things.
That's
so
cool.
So it's basically like a teamwork award.
No, not at all.
I was to say, because if it is, I'm going to be pissed because you've never edited and helped me. You son of a bitch.
Well, it involves teamwork. The main category is teamwork and collaboration, but it wasn't, yeah, it was kind of whatever. The second one of you motherfuckers will wait and sit there on a Sunday and be like, I'll teach you.
Yeah, but that's too much work.
Hey, I would have when I was supposed to edit last, but I kind of had
to. But then you didn't
edit,
yeah.
You know,
he was totally going to do it, though, totally.
He probably would have. He would have fucking mailed me and been like, dude, what the fuck are you? Even though he was hungover as shit after a wedding.
We got to get a VNC client installed, or a server installed on your computer so I can actually watch what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then Glenn should teach him how to edit. Because Glenn did that on my computer one day. When we were setting up for a broing up, he actually logged into my computer
and did some stuff for me. Yeah, I do that at work. It's not hard. So
no. Yeah. Either one. I mean, you guys can do it, and also Glenn can do it, so anyone can really teach me.
True enough.
So.
True enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Not much is going on over here outside of the, you know, what we talked about last week. I've been off all this week trying to help Crystal along with her recovery and that kind of thing.
Nice.
I go back to work on Monday. You know, it's been a pretty relatively smooth transition up to this evening. This evening, Alora had probably her worst evening time. It was just, she's screaming all the time, and it was really rough.
Yeah.
So
she's in her terrible 2 weeks.
Yeah, terrible basically. 2 weeks, that's right. I also wanted to mention to you guys that, you know, in general, you know, listeners and the two of you guys, you know, I am now, the way we're doing it is that Crystal now handles, at night, Crystal handles Alora, and I am responsible for Liam. So I have Liam's monitor behind me. So if for some reason I all of a sudden disappear or there's some weirdness in the way things edit together, it may be because my son woke up and I had to go get him. Or something like that. So, just a heads up for you guys, that it may happen in the future, and, you know, hopefully it won't. He's been really, really good the past couple weeks, with me watching out for him, so.
And if it happens, we're not gonna edit shit, and we're just gonna let it go through there, and we'll
pretty
just,
much,
you know,
yeah, that's what we do. That's our thing. Yeah. So.
Why not?
But yeah, I mean,
it's
as
not
I
like
said,
you're gonna be beating him in the background or anything like that, something like that. like,
shut up! But yeah, it's been a pretty smooth transition. You know, we haven't had to change our routine all that much so far. The big test is going to be on Monday when I go back to work. Not only for Crystal, but for Liam, because Liam is now used to having me around. And, you know, it was the other day, like actually even today, you know, we went to the store. We had to go to PetSmart, and PetSmart is right next to Babies R Us. So we had to go there too. So Crystal took the two kids, went into Babies R Us, and I ran into PetSmart real quick and got some dog food for my dogs. And Crystal said that as soon as I walked away, he started asking where I was and started getting upset. So I'm a little worried about how he's going to take that. And he'll brush it off and get used to it. Yeah, he'll get over it
quick and everything. Because every time you don't podcast, Jeff gets the same way and he gets over it really quick.
It's kind of true, actually.
Once you hit record, it's over. He's got it.
Yeah, I can understand that from Jeff. That doesn't happen when you're gone, though, Travis. So it's okay.
Nope. Nobody loves me. If I was Jason, people would be sad. Because everybody loves Jason, but Travis leaves me.
Travis is a dick.
Well, cool. Let's talk about some games then. Travis, I know you've got a lot of shit to talk about.
I played a lot.
So you go first. Oh, talk about Jesus the stuff Christ. That we're interested in. Let's do that.
Talk about the stuff we're interested
in. Let's not spend 20 minutes on a Madden demo, or okay?
I did like Madden. Madden was good. I also got the Madden Vita, which I will be happy to say it is very, very good if you guys enjoyed Madden 10.
Wow.
That game is not good at all.
I was going to say, I was like, everything I've heard about this game, it says it's terrible.
It is. I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, 2 years ago, this would have been amazing on a handheld.
Yeah.
But it's like Madden 10 or Madden 11, which we all know Madden 11 is the greatest thing ever, right, Jeff?
Yeah, so
Madden 11, though,
right?
Yeah.
So Madden 11, definitely game of the year.
No, I like Madden. I haven't played it very much and everything. I've just been at home sick, so I just don't want to play video games. But I did play a lot of video games at Pound Vegas, and let's see what I played.
All right, let's start the important one. How's Halo 4?
Halo 4 is fucking amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. I played the demo they had available was eight stations, four on each side, and your circle station was one team and the other team was another. So they just did four and four, captured a flag. Mm-hmm. And it was on this new map that they just built. It's very Blood Gulch looking. A lot of browns and greens and everything. But in the middle, there was more, instead of like an open area, it was more of like a cave system and a cliff system that was in there. So there was a big area for, you know, open combat in vehicles. But then when you get into the middle of the stage, that would open you up to more of the, close combat and everything. So it was a really cool stage. But,
How does it look? Because on video, it looks like it's a lot better.
Graphically, it looks a lot better. It definitely still has that Halo aesthetic, so it doesn't have that real gritty, realistic look to it.
Yeah.
But it definitely is the better looking, you know, Halo game since Reach for sure. Gameplay wise, I got to tell you, man, it feels like Halo. It has that classic Halo feel to it. But the one thing that makes it seem different and which I think, just the way I talk about it kind of throws it off, but I was talking to a friend about it, and he agreed with me, is that the way the weapons feel, are the most different thing about the game, and which is kind of, me saying that just sounds kind of weird, because the weapons are what make Halo feel Halo. But what they did, they took the classic Halo weapons and the classic feel, but they added weight to them. So when you're actually walking around, it feels like this assault rifle actually has, you know, more weight to it. You know, your Spartan doesn't feel as floaty. When you jump high up in the air and you land, there's actually, because you know when Master Chief jumps and lands, there's more weight to your character as well. Yeah. So it puts that a little bit, I mean, because your guy's like, what, 250 pounds? Maybe
more than that
armor, probably more. Makes it feel a little more, more heavier. And I like that. And it was just more enjoyable. Like when you shoot a gun, like I had the battle rifle and, you know, shooting off my shots and everything. There was more recoil in the weapon.
More of a kick.
And it didn't take away from the gameplay. The gameplay was still there, but it just made it better. I don't know.
It was just the multiplayer stuff, right? None of the single player, I'm guessing.
No single player. Just the 4v4 capture the flag. They did make the flag carrier have a little more,
because you can
a little more offense shoot because now. You can be basically dual wielding. One hand has the flag, the other hand has a it's something, but you have the Magnum in the other hand. You can still get some pretty decent kills because they give you the Magnum.
Did you do any of the flag assassinations they put into it?
I did not. No. I got the flag once or twice and just
ran and
playing with randos and people who've never played the game. No one's thinking about teamwork. They're just kind of doing their own thing. And plus, we all had these Triton or Turtle Beach headsets on, so they had no microphones attached, so we couldn't talk to each other. It was just everybody in their own station.
I saw a video from PAX. You can do like a flag assassination now. If you know the assassination from Reach, you can do that now with flags, where you'll just like boot, like basically like hammer the guy down on the ground and you drive the flag through their skull.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen videos of that. It looks pretty righteous and everything. So I just learned this. No one's playing teamwork. I'm just not touching that fucking flag.
Oh yeah,
I'm not going near it. Once you get your hands on it, you're on everybody's radar and you get slaughtered.
Oh yeah. Hey, look at me.
So anyway, Halo 4. Really, cool. Really, really, really good. I'm excited for that. I know.
Last of Us
was not playable.
Oh,
was not playable. Though. But yeah. They did have a demo playing at our general session where Sony did their keynote for us. They said they wanted to show us a brand new, never before seen demo, and of course we were all freaking out. So they actually put on the demo, and it begins, and it's the same exact demo, live demo that they played during E3, and we're like, whoa, what the hell? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the beginning where he's hiding behind a vent, and then he goes off to the right and hops into a window. At that point, he's hiding behind that vent because you see that first guy in the building, but then he goes a completely opposite way, and they do that to show you that, okay, everybody remembers that E3 video. We're going to go a different direction and watch how completely different this entire scene plays out in the same level. And it was pretty cool. Everything was completely different. The shootout was completely different. He did more stealth this time around, which was really cool. Different, you know, it almost seemed scripted in the E3 demo, like where a guy would just pop out of nowhere and everything. It just seemed like that was scripted.
That's what I got from the E3 one too.
And like, it showed that it wasn't. Like, hey, you can go in a different area and that guy will never ever pop out at you.
Yeah.
Never will, because you're getting a different angle on them or you're going a different way. You could take him out silently without, you know, that guy even having a chance of jumping out at you. So there are different options, which is really, really interesting. Before I go back to what I was playing, another cool thing that they did show off, it started off with getting some groans from the audience, but it ended up with almost a standing O. But Sony wanted to announce one of their new PlayStation Move games. And of course, we were like, oh, this ought to be good, right? So it was this game called Until Dawn. Okay. And basically what it is, it is a first-person adventure that takes place in the realm of a slasher film, and you are one of the people in the group of victims trying to survive. So basically, you're being stalked by this killer, and you and your friends are all the normal college, you know, early college teenagers wanting to have fun, camping out, and everything, but. Of course, the biggest mistake you can make, and this is what the guy at Sony was telling us, the one rule that you don't do in a horror movie...
Premarital sex.
...is premarital sex.
Yeah.
And they actually go to the scene where you're actually first-person view, and you're in a dark cabin room with the girl.
Like railing a girl?
And you actually take the Move controller, and you're removing the pieces of clothing off of her, unzipping her shirt and everything with the Move controller, and she's getting all into it and everything. And then, of course, you start hearing, you know, bumps and noises outside, and you're like, whoa, what the hell? And she's freaking out.
But they haven't had sex yet, though.
They have not, but you basically have her naked. She's in, you know, bra and panties and stuff like that. Of course.
I don't know how much sex you've had, but usually that doesn't really work if they're wearing bra and panties.
Exactly.
Unless you slide inside. Yeah.
Of course you're not going to be able to rail the broad when in a game.
Of course,
so,
yeah. Unless your name's Kratos.
So it gets to the point where you also see outside, you see from the killer's perspective as you're in the building trying to, trying to like guide her and follow her because she's flipping her shit out. And it ends up with her busting outside, being like, who the hell's messing with us? Stop playing around, you guys. This isn't funny. And then she turns around and looks at you. And the second she tries to walk in, she just gets gutted from behind. And the demo stopped there. So the game's called Until Dawn. Looks cool, looks fun, but again, it's a Move game, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So, it might be good.
But other things that I played, Metal Gear Rising.
Rising? How? Okay, did you play it?
Yeah, I played it. I played a demo twice, actually. It was the only game I actually went back twice to play. No, I went to Borderlands 2 twice. I did. So, Metal Gear Rising, it's platinum from the ground up, man. Like, it just, they didn't bother with cutscenes. They just wanted to give you a tutorial and just put the gameplay in your hands.
There you go.
It's fantastic. Cool. Really, really good. Ride and runs around real smooth. Like the basic combat, similar to Bayonetta. There is a lot of Bayonetta in there. I can definitely tell the game is going to get a little more complicated as you start unlocking things and getting more combos and everything and how you can juggle and different things, because it's the learning curve. I don't want to say it's steep, but to get good at combo, you know, like block, parry, combo, launch, jump, and then go into your sword mode via L1 and then swipe away, it's a little daunting at first. So I'm thinking to myself, if the learning curve is this steep, how much more advanced stuff are they going to add on later on and everything? Because the things you can customize and things you can add on, which I hope they do in Metal Gear, but the things they did in Bayonetta where you can like mix and match different types of weapons and different types of things there, I hope that's there. But my question is, how much more daunting is that going to make the controls? But at first glimpse, it doesn't seem it's going to be that way because it's basically riding with a sword, but of course we don't know. But Raiden can do a whole bunch of different things. You know, he can slash normally, he can jump, do a sword mode, you can do your sword mode anywhere. You can actually incorporate some stealth into it if you hide behind. So if you want to play a little more Metal Gear-ish, you can if you wanted to, until the shit hits the fan and you have no choice but to fight. But it's...
How'd the whole sword mode thing work?
The sword mode works fine. What it is, it's really cool. So you have to build up a meter to be able to use sword mode. So doing kills, successful parries,
and sword
and stuff
mode
like
for
that.
People who may not know, it's like that's a slow motion. Like you control the angle of where the sword slashes and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and it works really well. So basically, what happens is once you hit L1, you activate sword mode. Game goes into slow motion, and you have complete control over the angle you want to go with your right stick. So you take the right stick and you move it around, and Raiden will kind of move his sword around. You'll see like a highlighted light going across or around the body, going in like a counterclockwise or clockwise movement based on where you're going. And then right when, say, if you're holding the stick bottom right, so he's going to hold his hands, getting ready to swipe from the bottom right up, all right? So you can swipe there and then go the opposite direction and let go, and he'll just do one clean swipe. But you don't. That's the only backwards-forward motion you have to do. So once you go backwards and forwards, every other motion you go, that's exactly where he's going to cut. So you can go for much, much faster, quicker cutting, and eventually cutting him up into 100 pieces if you wanted to. But of course, the more you cut, the more of that meter it drains off and everything. So you want to definitely not overuse that, because some of the bosses that are a little tougher, like when a Gecko from Metal Gear Solid 4 comes in, you want to save some of that meter because they're more useful against that than they are the little grunts running around and everything. And I actually, believe it or not, found it more satisfying walking around going pop, 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 sword mode, headshot, and then stopping. Just one clean swipe on a guy and then moving on to the next. That even was a little bit more satisfying than slicing a guy up into 20 pieces. So I made that be my strategy because A, it was awesome, and B, it was conserving my energy meter, so I wasn't having to just waste it all and build it back up. So now the one thing that really threw me off, though, I'm playing this game and I'm getting a real big Bayonetta feel to it. So I'm like, okay, I like this. It's totally platinum. I'm digging what I'm feeling. But they forego the dodge for a sword parry.
Yeah.
The sword parry is basically his dodge. And what that does, I haven't quite figured out how to parry incorporates it, whether or not you parry or you can go into a combo. Because sometimes it let me do that. Sometimes it just opened up a kind of like a test of strength between Raiden and whoever he was fighting. And then sometimes it just started a combo where I needed to hit X and square at the same time to do like this big cutscene. So it was different. Like it was like different outcomes per parry. So I don't know, like, if it's different characters or different enemies that decide whether or not after you parry you do something else. It was weird. So at that point, I was like, I just kind of wish I had a dodge, because we know Raiden's agile. It would be fun just to do a cool dodge. Because as it was right there, there wasn't really a good dodge mode. There's a mode where he can like slide and skid on the ground and cause sparks and like slide from, you know, one end of the stage to other. Yeah, very similar to Vanquish, actually. But it wasn't a proper dodge. It was just kind of a way. Like the demon hunter in like a demon hunter's ability in Diablo. Just get out of the shit and kind of get off to the side of the map. It was kind of like that. So not a necessary dodge, but they're definitely going for the parry being the dodge of the game. But it just took me a little getting used to. I didn't get totally used to it, but I think maybe what 2-3 hours into the game, you'll get to the point where it's kind of normal. But it was good. It was so far. It was the same demo that we've seen from E3 last year. But we just got to play it, so it was nice.
Gotcha.
That's a big difference, though.
Yeah. On that Konami tip, Chris, I played the 3DS, the much lauded
Castlevania.
3DS Castlevania.
Nice.
Okay. I don't see what everybody's bitching about.
What do you mean?
But there was a little bit of...
There was a lot of stink about the way it
looked. There's a lot of stink, yeah, and I think it looks great. I think the animation's awesome.
I think it looks great. The animation looks good. I don't like seeing that gameplay in a Castlevania game on a 2D plane, if that makes sense.
What do you mean?
Because it doesn't play like 3D games, like air, like combo heavy, like juggles and stuff like that.
No, that played like a 2D Castlevania game.
Yeah,
I think what they said
is they incorporate, excuse me, they incorporate some of the combat mechanics from Shadow.
Lords of Shadow.
Yeah. But it's not like full on Lords of Shadow type combat.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, and I don't have too much to say on it. The fact that I thought it played well. Does it play like Symphony of the Night? No.
It sounds to me like it's going to play more like something like Dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like juggles and stuff, and like.
But there wasn't much juggling. That was the thing. Like it was like, this is Castlevania. Like, if I were a huge Castlevania fan, I think I'd dig this. I liked it a lot. And the 3D wasn't too bad, but it was just one of those things where I just started, halfway through the demo, I just turned it off. Like, oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about most of the 3D on the 3DS games anyway, so it's like...
None of it was in your face, it was all just like, you can really tell what's in the foreground and the background of the dungeon. And it looked cool, it looked great. But, I was like, turn it off. Let's just play a video game, so...
Yeah, there you go.
And let's see what else. Tomb Raider had a nice little playable demo.
Oh,
there.
That's cool. Is it Uncharted?
Well,
is it Uncharted? Yeah, probably. That's funny how that came around full circle, huh?
I know, right? Full circle there.
So, yes, a lot of Uncharted there. The game is fantastic. It is graphically, maybe not the character models, but the world itself on par with Uncharted. Beautiful game. Gameplay is pretty solid. We got to do the mission where she first gets the bow and she has to go hunting and everything, which is really, really cool. Controls are nice and tight. The running, the platforming, all that stuff's really good. I mean, plays just like Uncharted. So I think I'm gonna get it day one. It's gonna be a must have game.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm in the same boat.
And everything I played, I loved. And there is a lot of role playing elements in there, which is really cool. But I'll get to that in a second. Now the problem with it is the core gameplay is nothing new. At all, nothing new. I mean, it is Uncharted. That's what their goal was. They wanted to make an Uncharted game. But the things that make it different is they wanted to make an Uncharted game with a little bit of like an open world feel to it and RPG elements, which I think are completely going to work because you're going to feel like, you know, you only get to level up one time. And in the demo, you actually had quite a few options to level up. So it's actually a good fair amount that you're going to be able to guide Lara to do as you're playing this game and kind of build your own character. And it's neat because that's the point of the game. It's her first adventure. She's learning all this stuff for the first time, and you need to guide her through it. So I think that's going to add a little more ownership to your character. And, you know, because Nathan Drake's fun and all, but you're just kind of like pushing him along the way. You're doing it different with Lara in this game because, yeah, it plays like Uncharted, but you're still getting, you're forging your own Lara Croft, and it's pretty neat. They do one thing better. In terms of the normal gameplay, that sounds delicious. In terms of the normal gameplay, one thing they do better is the balancing yourself across a log.
Across stuff, yeah.
They do that way better. So basically what they do... Is
you get out your Kinect and you stick out your arms.
No, not close. To their credit, what they do, they use the beautiful graphics as a... to make it even better. So what happens is once she gets on the log, the camera goes from behind her back, a la a Uncharted, and you don't have to like play no fucking like lever mini game while he's doing it. It actually peers over like right on top of her head, and the camera's like looking straight down on her as she's going. So you actually have to go by her hand movements, and it's real close to her. So like the sound of her voice, the way she's like leaning and everything, and you go based on that as you're looking straight down into what, if you fail, you're going to fall down there. So it was a good use. It kind of like got you more into the situation. Because whenever I go across a log in any game, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go across this. But it was one of the first times I was like, holy shit. And it just made it more interesting.
I'll tell you what, man. In Uncharted, most of the time, it was like, oh, like in the ones where you actually had to use the tilt, and shit. It was like, I'm just going to walk straight across, and if he falls, he's going to grab on, and I can jump back up and just keep walking. It's just,
right.
It was retarded. So.
Mm-hmm. And it was much better there. Let's see. What else did I play?
You don't have to go through everything.
Oh, I want to get the good stuff and everything. My game, let me just go off with, well, I'm going to talk about one more and then my game of the show. Dead Space 3. I got a really good idea of how the game plays differently, multiplayer and single player. What they do basically, that character is for the most part, the second character is for the most part always nearby, but you're not side by side throughout the entire game. It's almost like they built two games side by side that at certain points they'll converge and you all fight together in the same area.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you break off and so it's still a, so even
you're
though
still by yourself,
you're still by yourself technically throughout the majority of the game, which is really, really cool. Cause I played co-op with a friend, throughout the intro of the game. And I gotta tell you what, like I saw him face to face in the very beginning and then at the very end where we had this like bigger fight to do. So I was really impressed by that. So you still get your single player Dead Space experience. And I was actually shocked to see that. But my game of the show, trying to think. Oh, Ni No Kuni was awesome. It's not as much Pokemon as you think. Because you send your characters out to fight, you issue a command of what you want them to do, defense, magic, attack, and then you can still move your character around in real time and attack as well. So it was really cool. My only issue was the entire demo. I was like, wow, that was the easiest thing I ever played in my entire life.
Yeah,
so
I think it's going to end up being like that for that game.
I hope
it's going to be one of those games that you're going to pick it up and have to put it on hard for it to be any challenge.
Yeah, it was insanely easy. Insanely. I was like, wow, that was the easiest thing ever. I even told the guy that. I said, wow, that was easy. And he was like, well, the difficulty of ramp, that's about like, you know, 5 hours into the game. I said, yeah, that was easy.
Even for 5 hours into the game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What else before I get to my game of the show? Nothing's popping off in my head right now. So I'll get to it. Best game I played the entire time I was there. Hands down, Far Cry 3.
I just thought you were going to be like, man, 13.
No, Far Cry 3 blew me
really?
Away, man. Yeah, dude, it is.
Really? It didn't just look like Crysis with co-op?
No, dude, that game is good looking. I mean, it is a great example of, pushing these current gen such, consoles.
I was going to say, saying these gen consoles have another year left in them?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if you don't think these consoles can do anything new, you need to play Far Cry 3.
You'd shut the fuck up!
The demo was, okay, so basically the mission is you start off in this hub area, you have a hub village, and then you open it up your map and you have this open world map. And it's really cool because the girl was explaining to me, how you have this whole map and
she
showed me the map. Yeah, she was actually very cute. It was actually one of the frag dolls. Frag dolls, doing there. And it was a cool setup.
Oh, it is Ubisoft, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was actually a cool little setup there because, we had the big screen TV and it was just me and her next to each other in this pod.
Hell yeah.
And it was nice. Yeah, yeah. And, we both had headsets on.
We both had headsets on, and we could both totally something different.
Okay. We both had headsets on, and so we can both hear the game, but the speakers were up as well, so we can both just talk to each other through the headsets. So it was a really nice little setup they had going there. So we're sitting there talking about the game, and she said, pull up the map, I'm going to show you the map. So I pull it up, and there's the big map. It's like two big, bigger islands. She said, this is where the single player is going to, take place at. And she pointed over here. All co-op stuff takes place on that map. And then all multiplayer takes on that map. So everything is like within the game, a part of the map. So every island has its own like mode and everything, which is really neat.
That's kind of cool.
And then what we go back into the actual mode where I can just look at the map of the island that I'm on. She says, okay, this is your hub village where you can, you know, buy things, you can upgrade, you can do stuff like that. And she says, what happens is, now if you look around your map, it's completely blank. There's nothing there. And so you have to almost have to do that Assassin's Creed type of deal where, you know, in Assassin's Creed, you go up to a viewpoint and you then once you activate it, you can see around you and see more side missions, see where more shops are to do that. There's similar things to that. So every mile or so, there's like this radio jammer. And you have to crawl up to these, I'm talking like probably like 30, 40 story high, communication towers and take off the jammer, and then that opens up more area of your map that you can see where to go, more side missions, people that need help or something like that. But she directed me right towards that, not only to show me the, you know, the way the map works, but also to show me, just how beautiful this game is. I mean, we're talking about how much more power we can get out of these current generation consoles. I could not tell where draw distance started or stopped, because you can see as far as everything. I mean, the draw distance is even better than Skyrim. You can see completely far down every tree.
Well, Skyrim's draw distance.
But how are the texture detail though?
And the texture, and that was the first thing I did. I was telling her that I'm sorry if I'm bothering you with this and everything, but I was actually going into every little store and looking on the shelves and looking at the texture quality on like these.
No,
boxes
I mean the far distance
and
texture.
It's great. Right. It's fantastic. Now, but what
you don't
they
see
do?
Any pop in or nothing like that?
No,
or?
There's no pop in whatsoever.
Wow.
No pop in whatsoever.
And you were definitely playing this on a console,
on
not
a console,
not a PC with like a 360 controller.
The
or something
Xbox
like that.
Was right in front of me.
Huh.
The Xbox was right in front of me. When you're eventually playing, you're gonna see pop in. But for this control demo, let's specify that this control demo. Of course, is not the full game on this disc. There was no like bad pop, no pop in really at all that I saw. So, I mean, if the game is anything like this, when we get the full version in our hands, it's going to be really, really impressive. But the game's fucked up, man. Like, you'll see, like, these mercenaries come out and do some really, really shitty stuff. Like, it's things you take for granted that because we see these violent video games all the time, but it's things that you don't, when you really view it for what it is, it's a little disturbing. Like, they drug a woman by, like, these three militiamen drug a woman, a tied up woman by her hair, shot her in the head in the middle of a road. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, the game. And she's like, this game, as fucked up as that was, you have no idea how much more fucked up this game is going to get. It is the most fucked game you will ever play in your entire life. Some of the things that they've told us that you can do in this game. So, I mean, apparently the game gets really intense. The firefights are great. The combat, so much better than Far Cry 2. Because the two things that I had a serious problem with in Far Cry 2 was the combat and the stealth. And I got to try out both, and they completely fixed both of those. Completely. Because every weapon feels good. You don't have to worry about your weapon jamming on you. Oh, this is real-life weapons. If you use a militia weapon, it's old and rusty. It's going to jam. They got rid of that bullshit. The fast travel is really neat because you basically can take this... we didn't have the... What is that? The hang glider? They didn't have that unlocked for the demo, but they did this thing where you have a... You ever seen those wingsuits? Where you basically look like a winged squirrel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen those?
Yeah.
You can equip one of those on. And if you... So basically I jumped from the radio tower after I jammed the signal, and she's like, okay, these guys are coming up the radio tower, and they're coming to kill you. There's about 12 of them. You can do one or two things. You can shoot... You can, you know, shoot your way down, or you can jump off. And I'm like, jump off. And she's like... Yeah, you have a wingsuit on. So hit start, boom, equip the wingsuit. And then I did that. I jumped right off that motherfucker and wingsuited and glided back to the town. And it was just really cool to be able to have that option, just to jump off something and just kind of glide away. So that game's awesome, man. It's gorgeous, beautiful. So for what I heard so far, really good voice acting. The story's interesting, so I'm excited about it. I was most pumped about Far Cry 3 after playing that at Pound Vegas. There wasn't really anything else that kind of topped it. So,
cool.
Are there any other games that you guys are hype about? That because I played everything,
Dude. It's quarter after 10, and we haven't even got to what we've been playing, so we should probably move it along.
Sure.
Because I can't think of anything besides, like, I was going to ask about Assassin's Creed 3, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I played that. It was just a boat mission.
The same one that was at E3.
It played like the boat. Like a boat.
Like a boat.
With guns and cannons on it.
Chris, anything you know?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Lords of Shadow 2
Last Guardian?
Last Guardian?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, because that game is not trademarked anymore. Actually, no, it got re-trademarked.
It got re-trademarked or something, yeah. How was Fable's Journey?
Oh, god awful.
Yeah.
God awful. It looks good. It's the best looking Fable game you ever see because it's running on an Unreal 3 engine.
Yeah, and it's...
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But it is terrible.
Yeah. Cool.
Now I don't want to talk about video games anymore, Jeff, go.
It's more Darksiders 2. Chris, how far are you in this?
I beat Darksiders 2.
Oh, you beat it?
I beat it yesterday, okay. Yeah.
How bad was that game?
Game was all fucking awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure I'm sold on it now as not as being as good as the first one, but I'm still enjoying it.
I will say this. It did not end as well as the first one ended.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, I thought it was still a pretty cool ending, and they wrap up things pretty well. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know, it didn't, like, when I saw the ending to the first one, I was like, that was awesome! And I didn't get that feeling in this one. So, yeah. But it was still a good
ending.
That's
kind of like the way I had about the first game and not so much about this game. I was like, this was awesome! And this one I was kind of like, this is above average and slightly great.
Slightly great. I'm loving it. I really am. I beat the game and, what I really want to do right now is start an apocalyptic run. I want to play it again.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's saying something because you know I don't get a chance to do that very often. And it's like, what is it now? We're a week and a half away from Borderlands. So it's like I've got a week and a half to try and wrap up Darksiders 2. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it, and I really enjoyed. Especially when it came to using possessed weapons and actually being able to tailor the weapons to my playstyle, that really made things feel better for me. I mean, it's like things are almost too easy now. It's like I never use health potions because I never need to.
Yeah.
Because I'm just kicking the shit out of everything, and things that are killing me, I'm getting life back from them anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, you're able to tailor your weapons to the way that you play, and I really, really liked that aspect.
Well, that part I like. It's the whole world. I don't think is as intriguing as the first.
Characters aren't
as intriguing as the first.
I can see where you get that from, because especially when you consider like who's the first big character you run into in Darksiders. It's like Samael.
Oh,
it's
Samael.
Like, fucking
he's amazing.
Samael. He's awesome. Yeah. And in
you
this,
don't meet
it's
anyone
like,
even close to as good. At least I'm like, okay, how close am I to the end? I just beat the portal section, so I beat that boss. It's the last where I'm in. So I'm going to like the scribe or whatever.
You beat the scribe. Okay, so you've got. I think you've got one dungeon left, and then two major boss battles.
Okay. There has not been one character up to this point that has been memorable.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. And you know what? I'll say this. From the way I view this game, from a gameplay perspective, I like it better. From a level design perspective, I like it better. As a game, I like it better. But what you're saying, like the memorable characters and the storyline and that kind of thing,
yeah.
Darksiders 1 still wins that war.
It's like, I'm still,
no pun intended.
technically, like, I've put more time in my first playthrough of this game than I have the first one, and I'm not done it yet, but there has been times when I've been like, I felt like this is dragging, where I never felt that in the first game.
Yeah, there's a few things that feel a little different to me, and it's like, the horse is almost useless. So
there's no point to the horse at all.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, besides walking fast. Well, I mean, once you can fast travel, you don't even need to use the horse. But, okay. True or false? So basically, would you agree or disagree that there is a certain section in this game between, like, I don't. Fuck it. I'm just gonna, like, I mean.
Are you talking about when you revisit an area from the first one, pretty much?
Yeah. That was
that part sucks.
So garbage, and it lasts hour and a half.
Yeah.
I was like, this is terrible. I'm like, they do this in the first game, but it's only for like a 20-minute stretch, maybe like 15 minutes, and that's it. And I actually think this part was the worst part ever put in a Darksiders game so far.
I will agree with that. This is just so bad.
And they could have done so much better with that part, because that's the first time you get to like, you get reintroduced like the angels and stuff, and like all that kind of crap, and then just like, oh, this story. Oh my god, speaking of, because remember my big complaint last week was, they need to, like, make it a little bit more, like, the reason the first game has so much character to me is because there's so colorful environments and, like, they're really vibrant.
Right.
And yes, death's supposed to be a little bit darker, but you get to this point where I'm like, oh, finally, fucking, like, you know, brighter environment.
Oh, yeah, when you get into Lost Light?
Yeah.
You finally get to Lost Light, and it's like,
let's go back
color! And then it's like, oh, no, go to this, and it's like,
let's go to this place, now it's raining and dark and shit, and then, oh, by the way, we're going to turn this game into something that this game isn't for an hour and a half, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh God!
No, I will agree with that, but I will also say this: the last dungeon, pretty cool. I think you're gonna like it. I liked it. I mean, it's kind of a It's kind of a cliche mechanic, but they do it pretty well.
Okay.
And you actually meet a couple of characters that are pretty memorable. So
That's cool.
I'll tell you that. I will say this. The best part of that game, as far as like the story and the characters, is yet to come for you.
Okay, good. So, well, that's, again, that's you sad. Actually have 17 shit to look hours in. To.
Let's say.
Yeah, I'm 17 hours in. I'm still like, it's still good. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, I hold the
hours.
First game with such a, yeah, I'm 17
hours. Wow, that's
hours
fast, in. Dude.
I'm like 17 and a half hours.
Yeah, I beat it in 25, and I think I was at about 21 or 22 when I.
Yeah,
when
I don't do any side shit. I haven't done any side shit. At all.
Okay, that makes
sense. So I haven't done any of the side missions. I'm gonna, like, if I decide to go back to the game afterwards, I'll do that, but I'm just trying to get through the main storyline first.
I gotcha.
But,
okay.
I will say the portal section has been really good, except for there's one puzzle in that part, which I think was retardedly difficult. Maybe not difficult. Once I saw the solution for it, I was like, oh, God. But the only reason I thought, oh, God, is I didn't even know you could do something that could take place in this thing, in this part of the puzzle. Besides that, being
you'll have
really
to tell me on break what you're talking about, because I'm really
Yeah, I'll tell
curious.
You on break. Okay. But other than that, it has been getting better. I've liked, and also that realm was the perfect length. It wasn't like, I mean, the second realm and the first realm was double the length of that one. And that's why I remember I told you I got the feeling it was kind of dragging on.
Yeah.
If they kept all of them like around that length, it would have been so much better. Of course, it would have probably only been at like 12 hours at this point, but
right.
It wouldn't have been whatever. But I'm still really liking it. Like I said, I just have Darksiders 1 on a really high pedestal.
Right, right.
And it's I still like it. It's one of my favorite.
Well,
games
I think what really gets at Darksiders with Darksiders 1 is that it blindsided all of us with how
good
it was.
Yeah, no one saw it coming.
And as far as like what you were saying last week about like the second area and how it was like everything seemed to look the same,
yeah.
I do definitely see what you're saying, but for me, because of the
color blindness,
the level design.
Oh, that too.
The level design is so good in this game. That I kind of ignore it because yes, you're going to see a lot of similar textures and everything like that. But if you start looking around, there's so many pieces that are different as well in all of the dungeons and in the levels that it kind of, it made it not as hard for me to deal with. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough.
Well, I can definitely see what you were saying.
So I'm still plugging away at that. Hopefully by next week, I should definitely be done it. I'm guessing.
All right.
Finish that. I also picked up Fall of Cybertron yesterday.
Nice.
Best Buy had a deal, so I traded in Saints Row and Battlefield 3 and got it for free, basically.
Those
are two games I don't play anymore. So I've only played up to about Chapter 4, which is basically the demo of part of Bumblebee plus two Optimus Prime levels, and that's it. I don't want to go into too much detail right now. I'll just say that if you played the first one and enjoyed it, you will love the shit out of this one, because game-wise, technically, this game blows the first game out of the water.
Cool.
Like, in terms of graphics, like, the quality, like, the tightness of the controls, the sound, the scripted events, the pacing, it's just been so awesome. I did notice, though, you know what, I mentioned this game earlier, I can't remember what I mentioned, I compared it to something, but I get a very Vanquish feel from the Transformers games, because they're so, like, high octane, and you're just transforming, and when you're transforming to like your vehicle form, you're still strafing and moving quickly. It gives it that kind of feel like when you're jetpacking around in Vanquish, you know, when you're like doing the whole like knee slide stuff. It kind of feels like that in the way that the combat feels. Not that the games are similar, like if you liked Vanquish, you're going to 100% love Transformers. Just, I got that. At one point, I was like, you know what, this kind of feels like Vanquish in this area I'm in. I mean, this kind of arena going like behind cover, but without taking cover. The game doesn't actually have cover, but shooting guys and turning into a fucking like car and zipping around to another form of cover and shooting. I'm enjoying it, but then again, I'm a big Transformers fanboy, so I'm gonna love it. But it looks way better than the first one, sounds better, controls better. You can definitely tell they had a bigger budget and they put a lot of time into this.
Cool.
So. I heard the game's really short though, so I wouldn't be surprised.
It might be, I don't know. I'm at the fourth chapter. I think there's 12.
Okay.
And I'm guessing the fourth chapter is probably like an hour and a half gameplay time, not even. So yeah, that would work out to be pretty short. Who knows? But that's it.
All right, cool. I only have one more thing to add, and the only reason I'm adding it is because it has the title Mass Effect in it. So I played the I was messing around with my Nexus the other day, and I was like, you know what? I have like $19 worth of, you know, play dollars burning a hole in my Nexus.
So let's buy a bunch of shit.
So I bought the, what is it, Mass Effect Infiltrator or whatever it is?
Is that the one that came out like a long time ago? The one that came out before 2 or 3?
It's the one where you play a Cerberus agent, and it's third-person shooter-esque.
Yeah, it came out like before 2 came out,
right? How is that?
It's been out for a while on Android. Yeah. It's been out for quite a bit. So I could see this being a really cool game if it was on the fucking Vita or something, because it just sucks with the tablet. It is horrible. I the controls are just horrifying. It's like, I can't even, like, so you use the, like, you put your finger anywhere on the left, and that now moves you. And now to attack an enemy, you tap the enemy, and then, of course, they have to be in range, because there's like this range thing. If you tap them and they're not in range, it just won't do anything. So yeah, they have to be in range. You tap the enemy, and then it zooms in, and then you use the, you can put your thumb on the right side or your finger on the right side, and you make slight adjustments to your aim. During that time, after you kill an enemy, you have like this 1 second area where you can quickly move your view, tap on another enemy, and like do a combo. They have I don't remember what they call it, but it's basically like a kill combo. So all that is really cool and fine, but it's like to take cover, you have to like, you go up to a piece of cover and you just move forward with your left finger. And it doesn't really work that well. And then, cause sometimes you'll move forward and he'll take cover but it'll lag a little bit. So you move forward again and he ends up hopping over cover and it's like, oh, it's fucking insane. Then he's got like all these biotic powers and everything that you can use too, which causes you to, which asks you to move your, to actually bring your hand up to the top corner and slide it like you click on an icon and then slide your finger to the power that you want to use. And it's all just very convoluted.
So let me get this straight. What are you trying to tell us, Chris, is that touch controls suck?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really? Yeah. I thought it would have been good.
It's, you know, it's a shame too, because it's like, I was very interested in the way this looked, and I had actually read in a couple places that they handled some things pretty well as far as the touch controls. But yeah, pretty well for touch controls is still shit. That's basically what it boils down to. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I, you know, EA, I know you're listening, because you know you listen every week. Put this shit on the Vita, man. This game would work so well on the Vita.
And they're like, sell some Vitas for us first, Chris, and then we'll put it on.
I mean, wouldn't if this was on a Vita, Chris, wouldn't this just be like a third-rate third-person game, though?
No.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I
think.
No,
I think that the idea of this game is actually pretty cool.
I think that's the whole perception that Sony needs to change about the Vita is like, if these games were on the Vita, like stuff like this, or there's that, what's that first-person shooter game called, Nova something on iOS?
Oh, yeah, Nova 4 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like really good. But it has touching controls, so obviously it doesn't play well. Like, put stuff like that on the Vita for like $6, $10, that shit will probably drive consoles.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But it's got that whole stigma that if it's not $40, it's not good, but if it's $40, I'm not paying for it because it's too expensive to be a portable shit.
Yeah, like, if they put this on PSN store for $7, because that's how much it was $7, $6.99.
$7.
If it was on the PSN store for $7, fuck, I'd
People
buy it.
Buy it.
I would buy it. I'd buy it again. I would actually play this game on a proper console.
Yeah.
You know, it actually seems like they've got some pretty cool ideas to it. It's just the controls are fucking ass. So, you know, that's pretty much what it boils down to. But,
crazy shit, son.
Yeah, that's it though. That's all I played. It was that. Yeah. It was all about Darksiders. I played some Lego Rock Band, had family over, did that. So that was, you know, it was Lego Rock Band. But cool. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Cool. News. Let's do it quick.
I don't think we have any. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, we're running late. We don't have any, the only thing really newsworthy. Okay, Killzone Trilogy was announced, coming out in October.
That's pretty 23rd. Cool. Yeah, I saw that.
yeah, $39.99. It's going to come with Killzone 2 and 3, some of the DLC that came out for both, as well as an HD remake, or I guess
up-resing
of the first game from PS2.
Hopefully a frame rate fix as well.
I'm sure it will. Yeah, I'm sure it'll have the frame. That was the biggest problem with the first game, was the frame rate shit. So that's coming out in the fall.
All move compatible, by the way. I know you guys are excited.
While you're looking around, I got a little piece of news. It looks like today, the Umbrella Corporation basically put out that their stock is available.
They're not
for
scary
purchase.
Anymore. Their stock is what?
Their stock is available to purchase today, as of today.
That they give blowjobs to giraffes? What?
No.
Wow.
Sorry. Some cool viral, cool in air quotes podcast.
Viral.
You could buy stock in Umbrella now. I hear it's a really, really great venture. As long as you don't live in a small town, that will be attacked by zombies.
Yeah, and then wiped out.
Basically.
What else you got, Jeff?
EA is saying that new IPs isn't worth it at this stage in the console life cycle, which I could totally see.
Yeah, bring it out in the next one. That makes more sense.
And they're saying, fatigue's setting in. They have 5 new IPs right now that they're waiting for the next generation of consoles to come out to release.
Hey, that's cool.
And that's kind of common sense.
How about Mirror's Edge 2, you bitches?
Yeah, that's probably one of them. Well, even that's not a new IP.
See, I don't agree with that frame of thought, though. If you're going to put, if there's something new and exciting, put it out.
I think they're onto something, because
you have to drive sales.
Yeah.
And driving sales in this time, it's going to be hard for new IPs.
I understand the business part of it, but if there's a good fucking game, put it out. Remember Me says hi. Beyond Two Souls says hi. Last of Us says hi. Put it out. Get people excited about this fucking console. When people look back at the PS3, say it was a good fucking console, why was it better than the 360? Well, they put out new IPs. That's good shit. I'm happy for shit like that.
Of course, I think we all are. But if they don't sell, they don't make money, they don't make sequels, they don't make good games.
So, Kingdoms of Amalur says hi.
They were doomed for
that. I know.
Yeah. 720 O-band chips apparently are in shortage. There's a manufacturing kind of issue where the yield, I guess, for the chips are really low.
Oh, this is that, 360 successor rumor, right?
Yeah, this 720. The rumored, I guess, 720. They're saying that, it has not been officially announced that it was coming out next fall, but the rate in which this factory was making these chips, they're saying there's no way it was just for dev kits. It must have been for mass production, which usually means launch. So, and they're saying it could affect the, they said delay in the 720 or whatever you want to call its launch, but of course nothing's been announced, so you can't really delay something that hasn't been announced.
Right.
But, they're saying that it could have an effect on whether it comes out in the fall or not. So, who knows? Another, rumor. This came out of OXM. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, the other one I just want to mention is just kind of irony more than anything. It was the original PlayStation team came out and said that Sega saved their asses because Sony PlayStation was originally going to be, a 2D-based console, like the Saturn, until they weren't sure if they're going to go 3D or 2D, which way the market was going to go, until they actually saw Virtua Fighter, and then they decided, okay, 3D is the new future, we're going to go that way. Which is ironic, because Sega put out Virtua Fighter. Yeah. Yeah, and they were going to make the Saturn a 2D, and they threw in a last-minute chip to make it be able to handle 3D, and it bombed. Way to go, Sega. So, yeah. Sega, maybe Sony didn't put you out of business. Maybe you put yourself out of the hardware business. I just found that amusing. That's why I need to put that in there, because I love Sega, and it's just like, ugh.
Hey, speaking of Sega.
Sega!
Sega renewed the trademark for my favorite RPG of all time, Skies of Arcadia.
Dance Star. Oh, Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, God, please do something
with
this IP.
Yeah, because aren't they remaking that?
I don't care what they do. I want another one. I don't care. I will probably replay the game again. I just want another one.
I guarantee you it's going to be for, because they're doing the whole Sega Heritage Collection stuff. Where,
yeah, that's probably what it'll be.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of those games, probably. Those games look good, by the way.
I'm down. I'll buy it again.
I already have
it 2 copies, so.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, and what's it called? Got a release date. That book game for PS3.
That book game. Oh, the
Wonder Book.
Every time I hear that name, all I can think of is that animated GIF from Last of Us.
Oh, Last of Us.
And she jumps up and stabs the guy and says, "Wonder Book." Okay, sorry.
I don't know what that. I just remember seeing.
That I don't think anybody cares.
Because who gives a shit? Yeah, someone pretty much. Whatever.
So Jeff, you're talking about getting a Vita. I have some good news and good Vita news and bad Vita news. What do you want to hear first?
Well, I'm going to guess that the good Vita news is it's still out there for sale. The bad Vita news is there's still no good games out coming.
No, the good news is that the Vita topped the hardware sales charts in Japan this past week.
Oh, shit.
Due to the release of Hatsune Miku Project Diva F, which is a...
Get the fuck out.
I know, right? Which is a rhythm game. And there's a long series of them in Japan, and it's very popular, so there you go.
And the bad news.
So, topped the hardware sales with 50,070 units, which is pretty good. Pretty good. 3DS came in next with like 44,000 units, so. So that's the good news. The bad news is that the Vita just got hacked, apparently.
Oh,
yes.
Shitty.
Now is a reason to buy it.
I know, it's like, that'll drive some sales.
There you go, get some fucking nice PS2 emulators up on that bitch.
Yeah, it's so there's one developer that's already expressed that he might be able to get the exploit might be able to run backups of games. His exploit can't be used to run backups of game. Good.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, I'm okay good. With yeah. that. Yeah.
Hey, look, this is the way I see it, man. I'm happy some third party is developing something for the Vita. Let's just speak truth, right?
Yeah. I don't know how far along
Dear Travis, I don't like
is.
The way you said that. Vita is a very good handheld system, and third-party support is still there. Signed, Mike PSN08.
There you go. But
actually,
so
I don't think Mike
that.
Has a Vita.
And I saw this and thought it was funny, so I just thought I'd throw it out there so we could have a little laugh. Square announces Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII, a.k.a.
God.
Final Fantasy XIII yes. 3.
If there's yeah. one thing I wanted, another bad game.
Oh, man. Square, I thank you for the quality games that you put out on Super Nintendo, but I think we're done here. Thanks.
Yeah. Just fuck you, man. Give me Kingdom Hearts 3.
Let's go for a break. Right, fuck this shit.
God damn it. No, fuck off. They need to fuck off, dude. Nomura is smoking some serious opium, man. Is opium still legal in Japan? Like, they can still get that on the reg, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it comes in, like, their bagels.
Basically, yeah. It's part of the health.
No, it's
part of the health.
It's in the cream cheese they put on the bagels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the girls' panties they sniff.
It's just...
Oh, Jesus.
I don't get it when Nomura
Jeff,
goes.
Get your hand off the racist button, dude.
That's not... Dude, they actually have vending machines with panties
I know they
in
do.
Them.
I know they do. Oh, shit. All right, let's take a break.
All right.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the classics of this generation. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors. Kind and caring souls such as... Nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Hey.
Chris. Hi. How are you today?
That was a little throwback. Anybody remembers that?
Hi. Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Nice.
All right, today we are talking about instant classics, basically. Classic games from this generation. Which ones are actually going to stand the test of time? And we did get a few emails from you guys, so I'm going to pass it over to
and
Mr.
I
Travis.
I do want to make a little precursor here before Travis reads emails. I'd like to point out, now I didn't listen to the last week's show, I don't know how Glenn edited it, but I did say on the show that I directly stole this from an email that was wrote in to GameScoop. I said that, and I also put in the post in Retroids that I stole this from a listener who wrote in to GameScoop.
Yeah.
Now, that being said that I mentioned that twice...
That being said, let's see if this gets old.
Let's move into the emails.
All right, this is a very good question of the week, even if it is ripped straight from GameScoop. Well, my definition of a classic is a game, says Sean Cupido, that I get nostalgic about in the future and want to go back to. Well, by that definition, I'd have to define Burnout Paradise as a future classic.
Ooh, that's a good one.
If for the only reason that I can't hear a Guns N' Roses song without wanting to play this game. Also, by the same qualifications, I'd probably throw in one of the Halo games just because you can go 6 months or so without playing it and then get a craving to play it. I would probably just throw Heavy Rain on that list too, because I never meet somebody named Jason again and react normally. Other than these few games, I doubt I will be too nostalgic about most of this generation in the distant future. But then again, I would probably say that 99% of what people claim to be classics are just what people grew up with. Who knows? Maybe in the future, Call of Duty will be looked at as a classic by the current generation of children growing up. Oh, and Portal 2. How can I forget Portal 2?
That's a good one, too.
That game is nearly perfect. The gameplay is 100% unique, and it has Steven fucking Merchant in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I do have Portal 1 and 2 on my list, actually. I think Portal
2. Those are good. Those are definitely good examples. Because, I mean, it's basically... the first time that something like that has been done. And, you know, that's gonna live on in other games that use that idea, like Darksiders, for instance. So yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yep.
All right, moving on.
Do it.
Be wrong. He says, hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Never thought you guys would be stealing an idea from another podcast. Oh, wait, it's from IGN. Well, you can't spell ignorant without IG. Anyway. On to your original question of the week. I actually have a lot of games in mind for this question and might as well point them out per console. On the Xbox 360, Dance Central. Shouldn't be on this list, but Halo 3, as this was one of the most awaited last chapters for an Epic game. And then they announced three more last chapters.
Yeah, they did.
And the PS3, Metal Gear Solid 4... It's number one on my list. I should have gone with Uncharted 2, but MGS4 was one of the main reasons why a lot of people purchased the PS3, and some are still buying PS3s just to experience it. And for the Wii, Mario.
Mario, just
bye,
just
guys.
Mario.
Thanks, keep up the good work. Be wrong.
Thanks, be wrong.
Thanks, be wrong. I do have what's called. I did have Uncharted 2 on my list.
So yeah, Uncharted 2 is on mine as well.
So don't. I think that's going to be the one that's remembered for the longest time, and.
I think that as a series, that series as a whole will be remembered, but 2 will be the high point.
Oh yeah,
that particular series. I think that's how it'll end up being, and you know,
it
makes sense. So
am I the only one that doesn't think that the Halo games will not be looked at as classics?
I think the first one.
I mean,
already
this generation
done that though.
This
generation,
I mean, like,
no.
Yeah, I think the first one. I even think the second one, because the second one was like the first like. Epitome of online first-person shooter gaming that was like that did it right. I think those two were hand in hand, but I don't know. I could be wrong depending on the age of the person growing up, but I can't view either Reach, even though I loved Reach or Halo 3.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying makes total sense because you know I think Halo, the original Halo, will be touted as more of a classic than any of the Halos that were released in this generation.
Yeah,
so that does make a lot of sense.
True.
Cool. MGS4 is a good call, but I think the one thing that it's the same idea as what you were just saying about Halo. I think that you look back and I think that the classic in my mind is the original Metal Gear Solid, or even three.
Well, but the thing is, the Metal Gear Solid is a classic now, for sure. But man, Metal Gear Solid 4 is really a prime example of a game to get for a console. And I think Metal Gear Solid 4 is in fact one of those classics.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because he mentioned in his email that was one of the games that people got it for. It was a system seller. It really was, and not very many system sellers come off as classics actually. And
no, exactly.
I think this is an exception. I think this one does for sure.
Yeah, only time will tell.
Cool. All right, we got another email.
Yep. Mike PSN08 says hello to you all once again.
So
okay, this generation to me has some great games that I'd like to say will be the next classics for years to come, like your Mario games, Metroid, Sonic, Castlevania, and so on. First, so Jeff don't have to repeat it, it would be Super Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter vs. Tekken. They are fighters that will always be on the top of fighting game lists. Next, I have to say Darksiders 1 and 2, even though I don't have 2 yet. The better Zelda-like games. Uncharted series is, of course, my number one classic pick for anyone that likes to play like a Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones type game. Wii games will always be classic since Nintendo only knows how to make the same series over and over and over and over again. Damn it, Nintendo, make something good. Other games I see being classics are Pac-Man Champion DX, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, wow, that's actually a pretty good one.
Yeah. Halo, Little Big Planet, and Rainbow Moon. Sorry, first-person shooters and Maddens do not count since they keep making a new one every fucking year. Well, those are my picks. Next week, question of the week should be, what games of this generation should be buried, never played again, and not made into any more sequels? That's a good fucking question of the week.
Haven't we done that before?
I think we have.
What games of generation?
I think we did take a break.
Generations.
I think we did take a break.
Yeah,
what series
did, like,
need to take a break?
Yeah. We kind of did that.
But already. I don't think we did, like,
never.
What series?
Well, this
need to be
generation
buried.
Would kind of be the same, though. Yeah. The only difference would be we went to any franchise you can think of and you take a break from or kill to this generation, which I think would probably get some of the same answers. I don't know. Maybe not.
Who knows?
We can throw it out there. If we get no response, then we just fucking blame Mike.
I remember, Mike. I liked it.
I'm surprised at the mention of Pac-Man Championship DX, but I like that one, to be honest with you. I think that's it's a great evolution of Pac-Man. I think that up to that particular game, the height of Pac-Man was Miss Pac-Man to me, like way back. So, I mean, it's the first Pac-Man game that really, really got me interested in playing it since then. I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm, hey, look how old I am. I played Pac-Man when it was in the arcades. I like that. I like that.
The only reason I wouldn't think of that one is because it's not talked about anymore. If it's not getting talked about now, why is it going to be talked about 10 years from now?
That's true. I see your point.
It's like, even though it did reinvent Pac-Man, people like loved it. They like Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anyone mention that game until just now in the past. I don't know. When did it come out? 2 years ago?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, so
great
game,
that makes sense.
I totally disagree with Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
I agree. I don't think Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Street Fighter 4 now.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4 is on my list. Street Fighter 4 would definitely be looked at as a classic. That was a reinvention of fucking fighting games. And basically did what Street Fighter 2 did to a lesser capacity this generation. But Street Fighter Cross Tekken's already been dropped by the hardcore fighting game community. It's even a lot of casuals didn't pick it up, didn't sell too well. I don't think that's going to be looked at as a classic at all.
I have a feeling there's going to be a discussion in the near future about changing our Cross Tekken tournament to a Super Street Fighter 4 Tekken tournament. I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen.
For Indus Fest, the Street Fighter
Cross Tekken tournament.
Yeah.
I know that there's a couple people that wanted another Street Fighter 4 tournament.
I think Street Fighter 4 will probably be the better way to go.
Yeah. So we may end up changing that. So stay tuned and keep an eye out on the thread on Retroids for more on that. And, if we make changes to Indus Fest in general, we'll mention it on the show as well. So.
Definitely.
Cool. Any more emails?
I have one more written in email.
Sweet. Go for it.
Comes from, Jeff with a J.
What's up, Jeff?
He says, hey, great idea for a question, Game Scoop. Indus. Anyway, I think this generation is going to
Why do you people
down.
Call out people that have already called
already
out themselves?
Called himself out.
It doesn't, yes. it's like Jeff made the associate, the metaphor. Thank you. See, this is what happens when I drink. I'm actually drinking tonight and I'm missing all my words.
Everybody next week, call out Chris for being a drunk.
There you go. Yeah. But he made the metaphor earlier. It's like calling someone fat who just said that they were a fat guy.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Hey, I'm fat. Dude, you're fat. Yeah, I just kind of said that.
Now my feelings are hurt.
Oh, fuck, that's coming from you. Damn it. I guess I'll put down this double quarter pounder with cheese.
Oh, God.
What if they bring the double down back?
Oh.
The double down. Which one was
the double down?
Was that the two pieces of chicken with bacon in the middle?
How can you forget that?
Oh, I've never had one. Yeah. Thank God.
It's kind of tasty. A little salty. Though.
It's a little good, salty. Though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. He says, anyway, I think this generation is going to go down in history much differently than previous ones. This generation of gaming has given us much richer and more immersive experiences and franchises than we've ever seen. So I think we'll see far more games have a higher and greater place in hearts and history than ever before. I think way, way in the distant future, when this generation is far behind us, maybe 4 or 5 years, we won't remember individual titles as much as we will the memorable franchises. Not to mention the way the industry is going, we will probably be getting sequels still, but assuring that maybe we have moved on to new IPs and ideas, and what we currently know as running franchises are finished, we will most likely remember the following franchises as they were born of this generation the most. And I will stick to Xbox and PlayStation titles, as we have yet to see a Nintendo console this generation. That was funny.
I see what he did.
Some of the franchises are Mass Effect, Uncharted, BioShock, Assassin's Creed, Portal, and Resistance 3. And he says we will also ask ourselves if there were ever a 1 and 2. And even though this is a long-running franchise, I do believe that Metal Gear Solid 4 will always be one of the most remembered and loved games of this generation and one of the best PlayStation titles ever. Well, that's all me got, gents. Jeff Wittijay.
Thanks, Jeff. I definitely agree with the thought of remembering franchises when it gets down into the, like, when we're two or three console generations ahead of where we are now.
Right.
I definitely agree that it's going to be that type of way we look back. It's going to be
It won't be, hey, do you remember Assassin's Creed Brotherhood? It was, hey,
do you remember Assassin's Creed? And it's going to encompass all of them.
Yeah.
Mass Effect is definitely on my list.
They could pop out, though, because, I mean, there's franchises back in the 16-bit days and stuff, but people only remember certain games of them. Like the Mega Man series and stuff. Like, Mega Man 2 is always going to be, like, the definitive Mega Man game. It's like
Fantasy Stars were like that.
Yeah, Fantasy Stars, exactly.
But games
Final Fantasy.
See, yes and no. Like Mega Man, most people that I know that like Mega Man, like all of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, in general, when you hear people talking, though, they're like, there'll be a different. Like, I really think, like, I have Assassin's Creed 2 on my list. Like, I really think, like, 10 years from now, people might say the Assassin's Creed series, but they might be like, Two was the high point.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I said earlier with Uncharted. You know, I think Uncharted the series will be remembered, and 2 will be considered the high point. And I think that kind of talk, that's what makes it a classic. So when we're talking about Mega Man and we're saying Mega Man, it's classic, you know, classic gaming, but 2 was the high point. I mean, that just shows that, you know, we know enough about that series to know that it's classic.
Right. Yeah, I think what Jeff said then kind of stands for every generation. Because, like, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic 1's a classic, 2 is a classic, 3 is a classic, but 2 is the one that's, like, everyone's like, that is the one. That's, like, the one that's, like, the number one game, or, like, that series.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of
like,
stays.
And like, people remember, like, Castlevania as a series, but it's like everyone Symphony of the Night as the high point.
Super. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we're on the same page, and I think it really depends on how you view it. But regardless,
like, I don't think people
Mass
think
Effect
BioShock 2 is
on
a classic. BioShock 1, yes. I have
BioShock 1 for sure.
Yeah.
I can see that. Portal, cool. On the other hand, both games fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know why Resistance was on there. I mean, Resistance,
I would not. No, Resistance.
I can see it as being a good game, but
yeah. No one's gonna be talking about that series.
Yeah, there's so many other.
I mean, Insomniac's already given up on it, so it's pretty much done.
Yeah. What else did he mention? He mentioned Metal Gear Solid 4. So we talked
Mass
about that
Effect.
One.
I have Mass Effect 2 on my list.
Yeah.
Just
and I think and that's the thing. It's like Mass Effect. It's gonna be remembered as a series, and then 2 or 3 will be considered the high point, depending on the person.
Right, yeah. So. Exactly.
But yeah, and then Uncharted, everyone knows that 2 is the best, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. I still have quite the list, even though I'm erasing the ones that have been mentioned already.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that the last email?
That's all I have. All
right. Well, Jeff, talk to us, man. What else is on your list?
I have Darksiders, the first one. I think that will be. I think even to this day, it's still kind of talked like almost like a cult classic.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Beyond Good and Evil of this generation, I think, so far.
And I agree. I mean, we've always talked about it as like the best 3D Zelda game that's been out.
That's ever been released.
Right. And I agree that was on my list as well, the original Darksiders.
Nice.
2, I'm not sure about yet. I mean, because as I said, I do like the gameplay and everything better.
Yeah.
But as an encompassing whole game, I'm not sure which one I like better yet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
I even have Bayonetta on there as well. I think Bayonetta is going to be one of those classics. Didn't sell too well.
That'll be one of the cult classics.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be a cult one of those like Psychonauts kind of thing. Not too many people played it. People who did really loved it. I actually have Red Dead Redemption. I think.
Okay.
That's going to be.
That's on my list. That's on mine.
Definitely. I can see that.
I have Demon Souls, even though I wasn't a big fan of it. I think that's going to go down as a definite classic.
Well, not Demon Souls specifically, but Dark Souls.
Well, yeah, I figured one of them. At least I played Demon Souls. I didn't play Dark Souls, but well, someone else named something. I don't want to, because I have a feeling a couple of these might, especially Travis. I think me and Travis might overlap a little bit.
Maybe.
So I don't want to steal all of Travis's thunder. So after Demon Souls, Travis, what do you got on someone on your list?
Assassin's Creed is on there. Dark Souls, Red Dead Redemption. Bastion's on there for me.
Oh,
that's
fuck,
a good one.
Think about
Bastion's
that.
On there
that's
for
a good
me,
one.
Man. That game just
Bastion's a great one.
I will talk about that game until the day I die. Like, I love that title.
Yeah.
Do you have Shadow Complex on there? That's on mine.
No, it's not on mine. I liked it, beat it, but I was just.
I think that'll be a.
I don't fall in love with. I like Metroidvania games.
We're not talking about personal. We're saying like
I don't
overall the grand scheme of things. What do you think would be a classic?
I don't know about that one.
Because I didn't like, I wasn't a big fan of Demon's Souls, but that's still on my list.
Right.
I think Shadow Complex will definitely be on there.
I have a sleeper.
What's that?
I have a sleeper hit. I think Valkyria Chronicles 1.
Was on mine. That's a cult classic for sure. There's no doubt about that.
I agree with that.
That game continues to sell even this many years later. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, sales aren't huge, but it's like every time you see a sale out there, it's like, dude, get Valkyria Chronicles for like $17. I mean, it's posted all over Twitter, you know? I mean, people recognize that it's a great game, and it just didn't get really the publicity that it needed when it was released.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what's another one on your list before, or Travis, you have any more?
The rest of them, I mean, are just ones I have to think of. Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, that was.
I have four more that.
That's actually. I think we've mentioned all the ones that were on my list, pretty much.
Really?
So yeah.
I
that's all
do
I got.
I think Call of Duty 4 is going to be remembered as a classic. That was
really.
I love
game.
It. I love
oh,
it.
God,
no, Call
yeah.
of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 1. I agree.
100%. I think that's going to be remembered as a classic. As much as you want to hate on Call of Duty, as much as you want to hate on Halo, Call of Duty 4 changed a lot of things for first-person shooters and got a lot of people playing them. And you can't. The one of the number one franchises this generation's ever brought out. That's going to go down as a classic no matter what.
Hey,
it's the only
Call of Duty game I own.
Yeah, there you go. I think Skyrim is going to go down as a classic. I think that's...
I could see that, definitely.
I mean, Morrowind is a classic at this point, and
yeah,
so
that's
is
true.
Oblivion. I think it might have had a chance, except for Skyrim is so much better. I think that's going to take a hit.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And on the same page, I think Fallout 3 could end up going down as a classic.
Oh, yeah, actually Fallout 3 is actually a really good one.
How about one of the Batman Arkham series?
I think Arkham... I think either one, really.
Yeah,
either
I think it really is. It's the preference of the player. Because, I mean, I loved City.
Yeah.
I liked City more, but I know people that like Asylum more. So
I could tell you, 10 years from now, definitely people are going to be like, Arkham City, look at that. That was a classic game.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Most definitely.
Gears of War, that's definitely going to be a classic. That was like, that to me, that's what launched this generation. I think that launched it for a lot of people. I was like, shit, this is what these systems can do now.
See,
God,
I thought about that one, but I wasn't sure.
The first Gears, for sure. Yeah.
I think
it's definitely
going to be on there. Like, as much as I think the third one is the best one of the series, the first one really put on the map. I mean, it was a new IP, and it's one of the top-selling franchises this generation. Like, that's right
there.
That's it says, like, people are going to remember that shit 10 years from now.
That's
definitely.
True.
And the other one's a much smaller game. We mentioned it earlier today, but I think Mirror's Edge is almost already on at that point.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those cult classics again. You know, it's like, regardless of, you know, there's a lot of hit or miss on what people think about that game. You know, it basically boils down to how you feel about, the trial and error type gameplay. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of people that want a second game, including me. I would love to see a second game.
A lot of people would like to.
Yeah. And in reality, if I look back, the only thing that really bugged me about that game was the countering system. Against guys with guns.
Was counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly.
Pun not intended, but yeah.
But that's definitely a good one.
And we could probably go into if we were to like talk about Xbox Live and PSN games, we could probably be here a while because I think a lot of Pixel Junk games would be on there.
Limbo,
I think would be on there.
Super Stardust HD.
Yeah, Super Stardust HD.
That
for
is
sure.
definitely going to be going
100%
down as a classic.
It's going to be on there.
Yeah,
they're going to be talking about that.
Even Dust might, you know, I mean, it's hard to say though, because it just recently came out.
New.
And, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of buzz there at first, and it just kind of dwindled away, but it's, you know, I mean, that's kind of what happened with Valkyria Chronicles too, and it just spikes up all of a sudden. It's like, oh shit, here it is. And
I think,
so it's hard to say at this point.
I think Bastion will hold more cred than that. And
I agree with
Complex,
that.
Limbo, Pixel Junk. I'm trying to think what's the, like all the Pixel Junk games are pretty good.
The Pixel Junk again. Series, I think,
will
be looked at. And then, you know, depending
Superstar
on what type of game you like, you know, that'll depend on what you think the high point of the Pixel Junk series is.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even MVC3 might be on there. I don't know. But I read a weird statistic the other day that there's more people playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3 than there is playing Super Street Fighter 4 AE now. So,
oh, wow.
That could mean something. I mean, gets a lot of tournament play. Who knows?
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. A lot of good games come out of this generation. I think there's a lot of opportunities to be classics.
I almost said Borderlands, but I wasn't sure.
You know what's surprising? None of us mentioned Infamous.
That's true. I don't think I could. As much as I love the Infamous games,
yeah.
I don't know if I could put them on that list.
I don't think they have the staying power.
Yeah. There's so many other open world games. Mm-hmm. That it really is up to the person, and I think it's like the open world game that Infamous is. It's more of a. It really depends on the player.
Think,
you know?
Crackdown would be considered one?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. As much as we loved the original Crackdown, I still don't think it would. The
second one kind of ruined it for me.
Well, that's true. It's true.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
We could probably sit here and really think of ones that could possibly be, but
can have arguments about which one it is.
Singularity.
No, fucking on the
I love how the thread turned into
Rubadub,
which I totally forgot about the game. Super Rubadub.
Did you see what Mr. Neb said yesterday?
No, I don't
think so.
Oh yeah, oh,
God. The only thing that's classic about Haze was me, Jason, and Jeff playing it together.
Yeah, the first time we played a game at the same time together was Haze. That's our memory.
That's right. And the memory was sniping each other.
Yeah, yeah. More fun killing each other than it was killing the enemies in that game.
That's a box quote right there.
Yep.
Haze, where it's more fun to kill each other. Interactive distractions.
The first co-op versus game ever made.
Co-op versus.
By accident. But yeah, cool. That's all I can think of. Anyone, Travis, you got anything else?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, good.
Yeah, same here. Cool, let's move on then. Let's do some new releases.
All right.
Hey, you know what comes out next week?
No.
Tekken Tag Tournament 2 comes out next week.
That comes out? Oh, shit, I didn't realize it was next week. Damn.
Yeah, September 11th, ironically enough. NHL 13 also comes out.
Yay, Canada!
Double Dragon Neon and Quantum Conundrum Ike Arumba. Ike Arumba, that's
okay. The
subtitle.
All right.
Sure. 360 is also getting Tekken Tag and NHL. They are also getting NBA Baller Beats. And Double Dragon's coming out. Fall of Cybertron Dinobot Destructor Pack is coming.
Wait, what's Fall of Cybertron coming out for?
No, Fall of Cybertron Dinobot Destructor. Yeah, it's DLC.
Oh, DLC. Yeah, the Dinobot. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So let's see. Quantum Conundrum on 360 as well. Doe Janger. That's
Joe
it.
Joe Danger 2.
Doe Danger.
The movie.
Yeah, Joe Danger 2, the movie, and Red Johnson's Chronicles, One Against All. That's a lot of stuff for XBLA next week.
And there's one actually coming out this Friday, which, when you're listening to this, is after, but it's called Mark of the Ninja. Check it out. It looks really, really cool. Hmm.
Okay.
Really cool. Chris, it'd be right down your alley, man.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
It's basically a side-scroller. You're a ninja. And it's a stealth 2D side scroller. It's not Metroidvania, but it's kind of like Dust, where the levels are kind of like different pathways and stuff like that. And you gotta take out the guards and get through places being sneaky. But it looks really, really cool. I recommend checking out the Giant Bomb Quick Look they put up a couple days ago. It looks really, really cool. I think you'll be interested in it.
I might have to wait for an XBLA sale on
it. And it's on fucking Friday. I don't know. There's so much shit coming out.
It seems like they're doing Tuesdays and Fridays for game releases now, because for next week they've got three games listed, two of them are on Tuesday, and then one of them is on Friday.
On Friday.
Joe Danger is on
Friday. Let's oversaturate the market.
I know, right? PC is getting I Am Alive, Trist, which is an RTS, and War of the Human Tanks, and also the Dinobot Destructor Pack.
Cool.
And 3DS is getting Hotel Transylvania, Fractured Soul, Deep Void, and Finding Nemo, Escape to Big Blue Special Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your new release list.
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week. I think...
I got a tie, I think.
I think I'm going Tekken.
Yeah, I'm going Tekken Tag 2 with Marker of the Ninja.
Yeah, Tekken Tag.
Well, Mark of the Ninja is this week, technically, so we're talking about next
week. Technically it is, so yeah, next week, yeah, I'll go with Tekken Tag 2. I'm not a big Tekken fan, but it does look pretty sexy.
Yeah.
The last thing I need is another fucking fighting game.
Yeah, I know. I was a big Tekken fan back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I was a fan of it when I could just mash buttons and shit. Now that I actually play games with people who know what they're doing, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really a big Tekken fan anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Cool, alright, let's do some emails.
Cool.
All right, let's see right here. We got us.
Right here.
Alex Hedges. He says, hey, guys, Hedges 1001. I haven't written in a while, so I thought I might as well while listening to the Couch Co-op feature. I have only one thing to say on the subject. 40-player Frogger. Not four, no.
What?
40.
What?
I played with the entirety of the freshman class out of orientation for the games technology course at my old university. I'll leave you to think about that. Peace out, dudes.
What? Wow.
What? I am... What?
I'm
Sounds
intrigued.
Awesome to me, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's like, what? Which one did you play? That's what I'm
trying to think if that's a metaphor for something. Like, is he, like, getting 40 people lined up, and it's like, stick it in, jump over, stick it in, jump over, and you kind of go in a line? No? Seriously, I am totally confused right now. How did that,
yeah, I didn't think there was one that had 40 players, so I'm interested. Let us know what that's about.
I am really interested. Yeah, you need to,
I want
you
more
need to write
information,
in the follow-up Hedges.
Please.
Because that's intriguing.
Okay. Well, while you think about that, I have one more written email. I think I heard
40 players.
I heard we have some voicemails.
That might be accurate.
That might be accurate.
Might
so
be
let's
accurate.
We're going to research that a little bit as
yeah.
we finish mm-hmm. up this last email. Comes again from Mike, PSN08.
What's up?
Says, hello to you, Chris.
Dear Travis.
He says, hello to you, Chris. He says, congrats on your new little future gamer and host.
Thank you, sir.
Of Indus One Day alongside her brother. And Jeff, and well, I guess you too, Travis, who decided to leave. I think he believes I'm gone already. Because he's like, that's okay, and other people that filled in for you will do just fine as replacements. I don't know. You will be missed after your departure when Indus Fest quadruple ends. Okay, there it is. I have three songs I will use in your voicemail unless Chris and Jeff would take the honor to play during Indus Fest. One is Take This Job and Shove It by Johnny Paycheck. Wolfman Jack's Hit the Road, Jack. And finally, Roy Rogers' Happy Trails to You. I like that one. It's classy.
No, Hit the Road, Jack's the one that we play for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like the first one, though. Take This Job and Shove It. That's pretty awesome. That'd be the perfect send-out. Travis just plays out. I'm like, fuck it, I'm out. Flips the fucking table that we're recording on.
He says, again, Travis, it's been good fun, and we'll miss you, buddy. Aw. Maybe one day we'll see you at MGC again. Who knows? Maybe do a karaoke track together like I did with Cracker Jack this past March.
There
I also might take a break from gaming, too, to get my life back in gear and get a second job to help my bills and so on. I said I was going to leave this site for a while, but decided I can't leave good friends behind and won't be on that much next summer. But talk to you later. Mike PSN08 is now leaving the house of Indus. Hopefully not permanently, just for a minute, until next week. So.
Thanks, Mike.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gone yet. Don't start those emails. People, don't start those emails yet. I'm not ready for
that.
You're
going
to start crying, man. We don't want that
to
happen.
And I'm not leaving gaming in general. It's like.
No, he's just moving to Yemen.
Yemen. I'm moving to Japan with Nabishin.
Hey, speaking of that.
Well, Pigpen's going, apparently.
Let's do this up right here.
Oh my god, I have the
hiccups.
Hey
guys, Nabishin, the same.
Hey,
hello, how you doing? And I'm bubbly, so yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Can't believe he's leaving already.
I'm recording this on a Wednesday, but I'll be gone on this upcoming Sunday. That's when I actually leave.
Holy shit.
In the morning. I'm leaving around like 7 p.m. at night in Japan, so that's kind of where I'm at right now. called you guys. Just a few things. Not like I'm, you know, like, well, hopefully just something bad over there, but I'm just saying, I just want to give you guys like a quick thank you, pretty much this whole moving thing, I guess you could kind of say was inspired from you guys, a little bit from growing up, a little bit from, me going to Indus Fest, a little bit from, hearing about you guys' lives, like from when I started listening till up till now, people moving, people staying, like Jason leaving, Travis leaving, you know, stuff like that. You know, I don't know. I feel a little inspired from you guys, especially coming to Indus Fest and meeting you guys and, meeting Chris and Jeff and Jason and Travis and Lynn. Just all you guys, you really helped me, make this decision and this big change of life, and I just wanted to give like a quick thank you to all of you, just saying thanks and you're probably like the biggest part of why I'm moving and why I'm trying to do a little reboot of what I'm living and how I want to live. So thank you guys, and hopefully you'll be hearing from me again. Hopefully, nothing bad happens on my flight. Hopefully, I'll be able to stay there past 3 months. Hopefully, I'll get a job. Hopefully, I'll get a wife. Hopefully, I'll have kids. Hopefully, I'll live my life to the way I want to. And, yeah.
Sniff some girls' panties.
So, yeah. Peace out. This is my machine. Hopefully, that's my last voicemail. So, and hopefully, I'll see you guys in the next. If that ever happens again. So, see you at Days of Goo. Okay, how about that? I'll see you guys at Days of Goo. I will try for that. So,
There you go. That's a good thing to shoot for.
Motherfucker, you crazy! Japan, I'm gonna say, why would you move to Japan? You know they don't speak English over there, right? You're gonna go over there and you're gonna be like, hey, how you doing? My name is Namishin. Hey, what's up? What's up? How you doing? Well, actually, you know, he talks so fast, it actually does kind of sound Japanese. It does sound Japanese. That's crazy.
I don't know whether or not to be like...
But you're fucking crazy! What are you doing?
Like, no, to appreciate thank you, or the fact that...
We did this?
Why would you do that?
Well, I was going to say, you meet us, and then you're like, I'm getting the fuck out of America?
Why
like,
would that's... you... Think of anything, you know, why would you take inspiration from anything Indus or Broing Up has ever done for you? That is retarded.
Yeah, especially Broing Up. Oh.
Oh my god, yeah. Why would you do that? Nabishin, stop. Are you on a plane? Turn it around. Get it back over here.
You're in a plane, turn it
around. Get it back over here.
Okay, by the time he hears this, he's already going to be in Japan, and it's going to be like, okay. Nabishin, you made a mistake.
Okay, let's say, yeah, we got to re-record this. Hold on.
Good. And just in case, we have to edit this out. No, great. Good on you.
Oh,
Nabishin.
Good job.
That's
good job. Everybody speaks English over there. Don't worry about it. Everybody.
Yeah, everything be fine.
Nothing's weird.
Actually, I think everybody weird over there has to learn English. To be honest with you, I think it's like an elementary.
Doesn't mean they can speak it. I was forced to learn
English.
French.
Is Japan's Spanish, basically. That's what it is.
That's right.
That is cool, though. That's kind of cool. Like inspiration. I guess I don't know how that inspiration came, but. Very kind of humbling, actually. It's kind of like...
Yeah, thanks, man.
In reality, it's a, you know, everyone's life changes at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is that you keep in touch with the people that you care about.
Yep. Exactly.
So, Nabishin, you know, we wish you the best of luck in Japan.
And you're
and we know
not another planet. You're on the other side of the world.
I hope you learn moon language quickly. Yeah. And, you know, keep in touch, man. That's the important part.
And voicemails have no time zone. Just saying.
That's right. Yeah. And you can always, you know, you don't have to use the Google phone number to send a voicemail. Just record something via Audacity and email it to us. Yep. You know, it's the same effect. As a matter of fact, it sounds better if you actually email us an audio file. So.
And let's be honest, you're a good friend of ours, been a friend of the show for a while, met you a bunch of times. Shoot us an email if you need anything at all, not even like podcast related, anything related. Just fucking shoot us an email. If you're feeling down, if you're the first like, little
Jeff,
while is not
you
going so great.
Cause, $500.
Okay, don't email us that. But
no. I mean, we're friends in the sense of that we like you. We cannot support you financially.
No.
Oh shit. No, but seriously, dude.
But if there's anyone that's gonna fit into Japan, it is Nabishin.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
Shit.
For sure.
And I think you're gonna do well over there, man. I think you'll blossom.
You'll turn into a beautiful flower. You'll blossom.
He's going over there because he wants Kingdom Hearts first.
He's going over there because he wants a Japanese wife. That's what he's going over there for. cool. So here's the deal, guys. I have a voicemail from none other than Fluffy Nuts.
Hey, guys. Fluffy. How are you?
Good. Pretty good.
I am... Okay, right.
Drunk?
Now. Okay, hold on. I'm watching the Country Music Channel, and it's been taken over by some...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...new age... Not disco, but electric guitar bullshit. It's supposed to be country music. I got a new puppy.
Oh, nice!
My dog died, but I got a new puppy.
Aww. Oh, yay!
Oh, yay!
Good news and bad news.
But, oh, she's so cute. She's a good puppy. Hey, holy fuck, I had something I wanted to say, but I don't know what it was. But, probably wasn't even important. And my feet hurt. I got a cut on one of them. It kind of stings like a fucker. But I don't... I'll be right.
Anyway, yeah, I was worried for you for a second there.
Fuck, I don't know. I don't know. Hold on a sec. Hold on. Listen to this.
Did he just do what I think he did?
I think he just farted into his phone.
Yeah.
The only thing better than farting into the phone is putting the phone back up to your mouth.
Yeah.
I've seen Fluffy. That coming out, that little meh coming out of his butt, that's kind of disappointing. I'm going to give that a very, very weak 0.7 out of 10.
I held you in much higher regard than that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, I can't believe you did that. I want to see what that translates into the Google speak, by the way.
All right, here we go. Hey, guys, Fluffy. How are you, sir? But I am. Okay, right now. Okay, hold on. I'm watching Country Music China. Love to speak to take care of the boys. Home anyway. H-note the sailboat. I like that.
What?
I don't know why. H-note the sailboat. Okay. A mystery got this is the country's Kelly. I'm telling you, puppy. I don't know what's up. Thought I'd be Poppy, if you guys before happened on. She sent you. if you could put the, hey, totally forgot something with the site. Part of the point walls. But hey, hopefully forcibly for the porch. and hopefully set up a couple more. I don't know where this is going. Google Translate sucks at this, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
The on this thing fail. But on it, I was hoping to anyway. Yet joint. No, I don't know. I was just calling to lessons. Well, bye. That's what... Sorry. That was what's up a little with that. But it was something me know if you think, hey, I'm going by.
I want to know what the fart translated into.
That is a good question.
Porch?
That might... No, porch was a little bit too far. Hopefully forcibly... Hopefully, forcibly, before the porch.
Porch.
And, porch. H-note the sailboat. I like that.
H-note the sailboat. There's the name of the podcast.
Right there. Oh, it's already written down.
H-note the sailboat.
Cool. All right. So we did get one more email, but it came into our Gmail address. So I have that.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to go through that really, really quick. And this is from Zach Pearson. He says, hey guys, I'm a newer fan of Indus, about a month and a half. I recently listened to your ME3 spoiler cast and I loved it. I am a huge fan of Mass Effect and hearing your guys' opinions and perspectives was super entertaining, insightful, and hilarious. You mentioned that when the extended cut came out that you would do another short spoiler cast, to go over what was fixed. It would be huge to me if you guys could do another half hour spoiler cast about it. Spoiler cast all about the extended cut ending. Hope you at least consider it. It would be super cool to hear.
I'd have to beat that joint again before I did that.
Thank you, Zach. I actually haven't beaten it yet. The reason I downloaded, Infiltration was to prepare myself to play through it again. Cause I was going to try and use Infiltration to get my Galactic readiness up.
At the end and watch the new ending.
What's that?
Can you just load up your save at the end and just watch the new ending?
Well, there's more to it. It's like the entire final battle is apparently different. Like,
well, not the entire. Yeah.
Not the battle itself, but like the talking
point,
to
the point. The point where you start
talking to your
members. Where you
start
running toward the light. That's when it starts getting different.
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. So yeah,
I need to beat that game.
Yes, you do need to beat that game.
I know. I haven't even listened to that show yet because I'm like, I don't want spoilers.
Yeah.
But actually, Zach, if you don't mind, if you can let us know, you don't have to write it, send it as an email or formal, just like email the thing. That's not how you heard about us, actually. Because we want to try to get us out there to like more people. And like when we hear from new people, first of all, it's an awesome feeling. Second of all, we want to know how like the channels to go down and see how people are finding out about us. So that'd be kind of cool.
Definitely. So that, and that's not just for Zach, for any new
for anyone
listeners out
listening,
there.
Yeah.
If you've been listening for like a couple months or so, you know, drop us a line. Just tell us how you heard about us. We're always interested to hear that kind of thing.
Yes, because we're not getting listeners the old way anymore.
The old way.
But cool. That's all the emails. So should we move on to question of the week?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Are we gonna do which one?
What are we going with? We had two options.
One are we gonna do? I think we should go with the first option for now.
Okay.
And consider the second option for later. That was the one that you came up with.
Yeah, the one
I know,
that
but remind me.
Oh, okay, so, all right, so question of the week next week, and this is something.
Oh,
that,
I remember.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm
going to
let Jeff
go
ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, well,
because I'm probably
going to
stumble
Jeff
over myself
up with,
and shit. Yeah.
And so he brought up a really good point that we maybe we've talked about movie games before, and those are always horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing like this flux of really high quality licensed games. Like with the Batman series and, you know, with the Transformers games.
X-Men Wolverine Origins is pretty good.
So what we want to know is what license would you like to see get that treatment? Let's say they're going to get the Batman treatment or the Transformers treatment.
I like it. The Batman treatment.
Treatment?
It's the bar.
It really is. I mean, Batman Arkham City is pretty much.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty much the best freaking licensed game there is at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, what franchise, what series, or what license in general would you guys like to see get that treatment for video games?
Yeah. For like growing up, it could be a cartoon you grew up watching, a toy franchise. Basically, I just want an excuse to talk about old shit that was awesome when we were
That's
younger.
Right.
Yes!
We want more nostalgic shit. That's what we're going
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
So, to answer the question of the week, you send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
Don't forget, you can also send us an MP3. And you can also check us, on Google Talk, which is, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff!
And even though we didn't read them on the show, we did get some Indus questions, but keep writing them in. We basically do them like every few weeks or so. Build them up. That's at Indus Questions at Twitter. Yeah. Hit them up. We read them all the time. Even if it takes a couple weeks, we'll read every single one of them.
I like actually having like a little cluster of them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. When it's only like two or three, it's like, when we get like a good decent amount, then go. Bam, bam, bam. Thank you, man. Give me that hand.
Okay, so Facebook, Google Plus, and Steam, Interactive Distractions, you can search for us.
Honey Boo Boo Child.
No, don't even start that
shit.
And drop by Retroids and join the community and join in some of the conversations and find some cool people to game with. It's where our forums are housed. You can join in our conversations there as well. And that is all I have. So you guys have anything else to wrap up?
I don't think so.
No,
I think I'm good.
Nor do I. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes and Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.